You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for NZ On Air Music Presents Rewind.
Hi, we're here with David from the 3Ds for Rewind.
Hello.
So the 3Ds were formed in 1988. How did you all meet and what was the process of becoming a band?
Well, it was in Dunedin. I'd recently moved there from Auckland and was pretty much my flatmate and my next door neighbour. We were just sort of bored, really, as most people in Dunedin are. And, we started going down to the practice room.
Which was a motorbike shop, wasn't it?
That's right, yep. A place called Cycle Salvage, which was incredibly cold, sort of concrete box. It wasn't a nice place to go, but we enjoyed sort of going and getting drunk, I guess. it was our time out.
You described yourselves as a good time band, which was, along with what you were saying, just like getting drunk and jamming and stuff. What was the transition from just being a fun band with mates into becoming like a bit of a New Zealand legend?
I don't really know when it changed. I don't think it wasn't a conscious effort from us or us trying any harder. I don't think it was just more a case of actually having a record out. And we were quite lucky in terms of some of the shows we managed to get. I think we did quite a few support shows, and I think that was how we first sort of thought what we were doing it for, was to basically get into shows for free. And so it was very much all about just having a good time. And just the more time we spent at it, sort of just grew. I guess it was probably around the time when we played with Nirvana that our crowd sort of doubled, I guess.
Yeah.
In size.
So you supported Nirvana in 1992, but when you were offered the tour with them to Japan, you declined. Was there any reason behind this?
I think we pretty much, at that stage, we hadn't really thought about touring overseas, and we just weren't ready for it, I don't think. We didn't even have our passports organised, and they were going straight to, I think they'd already been in Australia, and they were going straight to Japan. So if we'd had everything, maybe we would have gone, but we didn't, so...
Your music is such a fun sound, and it's a really great example of that Dunedin sound. What were the inspirations behind these riffs and stuff? Bruce Russell from the Expressway label once described them as horrid little riffs that get under your nails and won't come out. Were there any bands that you listened to help you develop the sound?
Yeah, sure. We were into a lot of music. David Mitchell especially was into music that would kind of get into your head and not leave quickly, like his guitar riffs are pretty hard to forget. And as far as bands go, I guess bands like Peer Ubu and Wire are two that come to mind. But where that whole sort of riff sort of thing comes from. David Mitchell, he used to sort of delight in sort of crazy riffs, and sometimes we'd just be laughing our heads off with what he would come up with. So nutty.
Regarding that Dunedin sound, what was it like being a part of this revolution, if you will? And do you have another favourite band from from that group?
Yeah, sure. It was really amazing for me. Like, I was like 17, 18 when I moved to Dunedin. And so like I kind of got there and, you know, I was playing music with a lot of my heroes, I guess you could say. I was living in a flat with Robert Scott from the Clean. And yeah, I would basically spend my time having jams with lots of people from that early scene in Dunedin. I guess some of my favourite bands around that time would be the Alpaca Brothers, well, one that I really liked. Of course, Look Blue Go Purple and The Clean, loved them. Stephen, which was David Kilgour's band, and Snapper.
Awesome.
Were big at the time too. I was also living with Dominic. So yeah, I was like a teenager living with my, you know, moving into a flat with musicians who, you know, I really respected and loved their music. So it was an amazing time for me. I just thought like I was the luckiest kid in the world, I guess.
Awesome. Along with lots of those other bands, you were signed with Flying Nun. What was your experience with New Zealand's ultimate alternative rock label like?
They were a great label, and when we were on them, it was quite an exciting time in terms of what was happening for the label. You know, they just sort of got quite a bit bigger in terms of where they could sell records, and yeah, it was quite it was an exciting time. I mean, when we first started, we were kind of more involved with Expressway, I think, than Flying Nun. But you know, we were in a sort of situation where we tried to get funding and just couldn't seem to get any leeway with or headway, I should say, with New Zealand On Air. And so we tried a few times and then thought, right, well, we'll try it with Flying Nun. And that happened with them. I guess maybe they were a bit sort of more successful as a business, and that probably helped. Yeah, they, you know, they were a great label. We certainly wouldn't have been able to tour as much as we did without their help. So it was just a dream come true, I think.
Yeah, you did some pretty impressive tours with artists such as Pavement and the Lemonheads and Nirvana, as you were saying. Do you have a favourite tour story?
I don't really have a favourite tour story, but I have a favourite tour. I think, you know, the tour we did of America was, we did like a really big tour with Pavement and Guided by Voices, who were like, you know, two of my most favourite bands ever. And you know, that was just amazing, going to all across America and visiting places. Yeah, it was just, you know, going to places which I'd read about, and going to Guided by Voices hometown. And yeah, felt very very lucky.
Yeah, totally. I heard about a support slot in a U2 tour in which a bottle of wine was stolen from their dressing room, resulting in you being told you would not be paid for your set, to which Bono said you'd be paid double and be given an extra bottle of wine.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was something that was like, nothing we really did to actually, you know, it wasn't us who caused any of the trouble, but that quite often happened. Our associates would often be causing trouble when we were playing or something. Happened a few times. but that was bizarre. That whole time was crazy. I mean, playing at Western Springs, it was quite a bizarre experience as a band. Yeah, so that, you know, that was great. Loved it.
Yeah. You released like a bunch of albums. Do you have a personal favourite?
Yeah, I do. I'd say the album The Venus Trail is my favourite, just because I think it really captures us well. Like, you know, a lot of the songs were written very close to the recording. They were written while we were on tour. And yeah, I just think, even though it might not have some of our more popular songs on it, but it just sort of works really well as an album. Like, I can listen to it now and, you know, it's I'm not cringing.
And do you have a favourite song on that album?
Yeah, probably either Beautiful Things or The Golden Grove.
Nice.
Like both of those songs.
That was Rewind, presented by NZ On Air Music.
So good to hear that. And just before, when we had breast secreting cake in, I'm in some kind of flying Nunderland. Was that an acceptable pun there? I hope so. Well, I am actually going to play my favourite 3D's song now, because I'm a bad person, I guess. And my favourite 3D song is Sunken Treasure. So here is that for all of you.
This sunken treasure around the world, a billion pearls all around your crown, the sun and the moon sleeping underground. You broke your back, I put it back together. You slipped in the dark, I held up the sun, I hung it in your room, but it came undone. If
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.